Okay, here. Stop. Draw anchor. Ah, good. Stand about. No. Bow. Up.
What, up front?
Yeah. Make block. Left, right. Up, down. Side to side. Breathe in, breathe out. And no scare fish.
Hey, when am I going to learn how to punch?
Better learn balance. Balance is key. Balance good, karate good, everything good. Balance bad, better pack up, go home. Understand?
Yeah, I understand. Hey, you ever get into fights when you were a kid?
Plenty.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a problem I have, right?
Why? Fighting. Same.
Yeah, but you knew karate.
Someone always know more.
You mean there were times when you were scared to fight?
Always scared. Miyagi hate the fighting.
Yeah, but you like karate.
So?
So karate's fighting. You train to fight.
That hurt you think?
No.
Then why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Miyagi have a hope for you.
When am I going to learn how to punch?
Learn how to punch. When learn how to keep trying.
No!
You all went behind the ear.
You're crazy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is House Podcastica Cobra Kai Edition.
Woo! This week, we're covering the movie that started it all, The Karate Kid.
Strike first, strike hard.
No mercy.
Sensei!
So, a couple of intro things. I mean, I think probably some of you are like, Cobra Kai? What the hell? That's weird. That's different. So we'll get into that. But first, I just wanted to mention who we are, because the three of us that you just heard are going to be the host for this series. So yeah, you all know me, but I'm Jason. I do Walking Dead cast and a bunch of other podcasts. Most recently, The Mandalorian and Westworld here on House Podcastica. Mm. Richard, you might have heard him on Evil Dead cast and Mandalorian.
Yay.
Yeah, highly missed. We'll be back with Mandalorian. Yes. Yeah, that's... There's some cool news about that.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one.
Back in the fall. Yeah, I hope it's as good. Supposedly, there's even more action this time around, so that'll be cool.
Sweet.
Can't wait.
And of course, Rima is host of Strange Indeed that covers Stranger Things and a bunch of other mostly like dark and twisty shows from... You've done Netflix and Amazon and Hulu. Is that about right?
Yep.
Those three places, and then you and I did Legion together, which was awesome and also highly missed. I realize after a while in podcasting, it can be really sad because it's like when you have pets, you know, you outlive your pets and then you're sad thinking about them.
Yeah. Missed that podcast. Yeah.
And the show. So Cobra Kai, now what is Cobra Kai? In case you didn't know, it's a series that continues on from the classic Karate Kid series of movies. There's two seasons out already. I think they're 10 episodes each. Is that right? And they're
sounds about right.
Short episodes, like around 30, 35 minutes each. And the reason why we picked this one, it's super popular, but two, The Karate Kid is one of my favorite movies. And for a long time, it was my favorite movie. And then I decided that it was kind of childlike, so I picked another favorite movie. But as time goes on, I realized, no, I still have a huge place in my heart for that movie. I think it's really special. And Also, I'm realizing the more I think about it that I identify with it a lot because I didn't have a strong father figure and Daniel doesn't have a father and my mom and I were kind of poor and we had to jumpstart cars and we moved around a lot like they did. You know, I was a fish out of water. I went to new schools and I even went into kind of a tough school in third grade. And that year I got into a few fights and stuff. And I don't think I even consciously realized all that when I first, Richard, you know, I love Karate Kid for a long time, but I didn't really think about why, but that's one reason why it just personally resonated with me. But Richard and our other friend, Dan, they rode their bikes across the country from Georgia to San Francisco or California when they were in their 18 or something. And during that ride on my birthday, I got a Karate Kid VHS in the mail from them.
That's aww. Right. I was going to ask if you remembered that, actually.
That's so cool.
I was like, wow, that's really nice of you guys. So what about you guys? I mean, have you always liked that movie or just sorta, and you like the series or what?
Yes, I would say, well, I don't think I can't even say it's probably in my top 10 favorites, but I definitely liked it because I kind of lump it in there with all those classic 80s movies, you know, all the John Hughes movies.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller and Breakfast Club and even Stand By Me, I feel like, is close to it because that's grounded, like Karate Kid's kind of a grounded movie.
Yeah, exactly. And we all grew up with it, so there's the nostalgia bit. And then I really like fan service. I need fan service, and this Cobra Kai series that they've started now is like a, you know, it's a continuation of the same story, and they go back and they even show you clips of the movies and stuff like that. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard they were doing Cobra Kai, because I'm such a big Karate Kid fanboy, my first two thoughts were, oh, that's so cool, they're doing a continuation of Karate Kid, and man, that's gonna suck. You know, I thought, how could that be any good? And then I'm going to watch it no matter what. And then I watched it and it was really good. And I love how it pays reverence to the movies, but it also doesn't treat it with like it's gold. You know, it kind of flips it on its head. It remixes and recontextualizes a lot of things in a really clever way. So I think they did a damn good job of making it good and something cool all on its own.
Yeah, and they did that rare thing where they answered a lot of questions, but then they also raised a lot of questions, which you're looking forward to the answers to, you know? So you just keep watching.
Yeah. What about you, Rima? Yeah. I think I know one thing you're going to say, but I'm not going to.
Well, please.
Well, I think you like Johnny better than Daniel.
Cobra Kai!
I think I liked Johnny better when I watched Cobra Kai. Karate Kid, whenever I was little and watched it, I could not relate very much to the story at that time. It was not one of my favorites. I mean, I think there were some fun things about the movie. I didn't hate it or anything whenever I was younger. I was a big movie person even as a child. I grew up in the movies. You know, I was always, you know, dumped at the movies as a kid and said, here's some cash for the movies and then go to the arcade next door after until my mom come pick me up later. You know, I was that kind of kid. So I grew up on the movies. I loved the movies. This was, I'll admit, I was not a huge fan of the Karate Kid just because I couldn't relate to it that well. And honestly, I thought half the time, I know Daniel was supposed to be like the good guy of it all, but I thought half the time he came across like a jerk. So I really just didn't. I thought he treated Allie, you know, he was like a jerk to her half the time. So I was like, I don't know that I like that guy so much. I know I'm supposed to be rooting for him. And I feel like, you know, I am glad that he, you know, kind of came up on top and kind of defeated, you know, Johnny and the Cobra Kai. But, it just did not resonate with me, you know, and probably until a little bit later as I grew up and kind of experienced some similar things like being moved, you know, without being asked and then kind of getting picked on after that move. So then I could kind of relate to it. But then you, at the time when I watched it,
kicked your enemy in the face that one time.
No, I didn't kick anybody in the face.
That's a very mature perspective too. When I was a kid and I watched it, I was just like, you know, Daniel good, Johnny bad.
Well, I just watched it today, and there's a YouTube video that posits that Daniel's actually the bad guy, and I could not disagree with that more. I think Johnny's asshole in the movie, but in the series, it's much more.
It's a little complicated.
Yeah, well, both. Oh, in the movie, like he comes down and starts harassing Allie, and she's like, "We broke up," and he's taking her radio and throws it down on the ground, and then Daniel tries to come in and defend her, and he just starts kicking him, and you know, then Daniel fights back. It's just couldn't be any more clear that he's nothing but the good guy.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that stuff came out after Cobra Kai became popular. And,
yeah.
That YouTube video was
pre-Cobra Kai, but yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I thought it was after Cobra Kai that, you know, because it, like you said, Cobra Kai kind of flips Karate Kid just a little bit, and how, you know, it's kind of a story about Johnny.
Yeah. It puts him more on an even playing field. A lot more sympathy for Johnny, and makes Daniel not perfect, which I love. I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Well, it makes it a little bit more complicated, Johnny's story. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just like a mean bully to be a bully. There was a little bit more to his story, which you get in Cobra Kai. So I think you kind of understand him a little bit more. And
yeah,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. I think in Karate Kid, he was just the typical like douchebag, 80s douchebag, you know,
yeah,
like Robert Downey Jr. type, back the same kind of roles he was in back then.
I mean, he was a jerk, but I feel like he, you know, I think that there were at least a few reasons why he acted the way that he did that you could see in the movie. I'm not saying any of it justified his behavior, you know, and being an ass and, you know, just punching Daniel, you know, when he could have, you know, just instead defuse a situation. That's what you're taught to do in martial arts. Of course, that he didn't have a good teacher, and that's a big part
of
the whole story.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way, and clearly he should have went the other way, but he wasn't taught that way. So, you know, I'm not saying he's justified anything he does or anything like that, but, you know, I
feel like...
He almost
killed him when he... Daniel's poured water on his head. Then he might have killed him if Mr. Miyagi didn't come in and save the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But didn't Daniel start that?
Yes. Well, he was...
He kind of poked and prodded a little bit. It wasn't the smartest thing to do. And again, he's not perfect. But, he definitely knew that these guys were going to beat the shit out of him. And then he turns around and, you know, he goes and pokes the bear, as you know.
Well, that was right. This is supposed to just be the intro, but we're kind of getting into it now. But that was right after at the Halloween party when Allie says... he's trying to apologize for running away from them because she had kind of mocked him for being afraid, you know, like he saw them and he goes, "Oh, I forgot something. I got to go. Oh, Daniel, you can't just run away from it. Just, hey, get off my case." So then when they're at the Halloween party, he's trying to, you know, go back on that. And he's like, "No, you're right. You got to confront things." And she's like, yeah, but he's such a jerk. And then Daniel's like, "Well, what comes around goes around." And so that's kind of what gave him. He had to like prove that he wasn't a wuss to his girl, which I'm not saying is an excuse, but that's just what was going on in his head, I think.
And that's pretty real.
Yeah.
For high school kids, you know.
Sometimes adults too. So before we go even further into it, I just want to let you guys know, if you're at all intrigued by this, I highly recommend that you at least check out the first couple episodes of Cobra Kai. It's on YouTube Premium right now, which does cost money, but the first two episodes are free. And if you sign up for YouTube Premium, you get a month free trial, so you could actually go on there and binge the whole thing and then cancel without having to pay for anything. And even if you just don't want to sign up for YouTube Premium, you could watch the first two episodes for free, and you can tell whether you're going to like it just by watching those. It's a fun watch. So I recommend you checking it out, and then you can, you know, watch along with us. We're going to cover Karate Kid here in this episode. Then for Cobra Kai, we're going to do two episodes at a time because they're so short. And so we'll blast through the first two seasons fairly quickly. Season 3 is due out anytime. There's no release date, but apparently it's going to go over to either Netflix or Hulu. And they'll probably bring the rest of the series over at the same time. there's some negotiations going on. So it's kind of up in the air, but it could just, I feel like, come out at any point now. They might just announce, hey, guess what? It's on Netflix right now. So I heard this, the filming for season three is actually completed, but they're just trying to figure out where it's going to air.
Oh, well, that's cool. I hadn't heard that it was done. I was afraid, like everything else, it was being delayed.
Right. I mean, this is all hearsay, but that's what I read from Deadline.
Right.
So
they're pretty reliable.
All that said, let's get into our top three highlights for The Karate Kid. So as you guys probably all know, it's a 1980s coming of age movie starring Ralph Macchio as Daniel LaRusso, who's a kid moving from New Jersey to California with his single mom. He meets cute blonde Allie, played by Elizabeth Shue, her first big role, and then has to deal with her ex-boyfriend who doesn't believe that they broke up, even though Liz's friend said, yeah, she broke up, but he didn't. And then he takes karate. Oh, they all take him and his friends take karate classes under this ruthless teacher who teaches them not to show any mercy to their enemies. And then Daniel meets Mr. Miyagi, this mysterious old Japanese maintenance man at his apartment complex that helps him learn karate so he can fight this guy. So let's get into our top three. Rima, would you like to go first?
Well, I would love to. Thanks. So as I mentioned earlier when you asked us, you know, kind of what it meant for us back in the day, and I kind of mentioned it, I wasn't really able to relate a lot like to Daniel. I know that a lot of boys at that age and when I was growing up probably could, you know, at least at some point, because Daniel really represents like the every high school guy, right? You know, he's just kind of like that every guy in high school. He doesn't really stand out that much. And, you know, he's just trying to get through life. But the lessons that I kind of got from that, especially for me, as I got older, as I mentioned, after I had moved at I think it was like an eighth grade. So this was way past the point of whenever I'd watched Karate Kid, whenever I was younger, when it came out in 84, I had moved to a bigger school. And I'd never really been bullied or picked on or anything like that because I came from a really small school. We were all really good friends and I just had never experienced that. But whenever I moved to a different school later on, there were cliques. I didn't even know such a thing existed until I moved to this other school. And there was a group of mean girls. One girl in particular did not really like me that much because she thought I was talking to her boyfriend. I was not, by the way, just full disclosure. But she had heard that I was. So, of course, you know, the rumors fly through high school and she had attempted to bully me. So one lesson that I had really picked up from Karate Kid that really, I think, stuck with me throughout life and still to this day is my belief of not backing down to any bullies. Because I really like that, you know, Daniel, no matter what, I mean, gets the crap kicked out of him, like, all the time. But he still, you know, stands up to Johnny, stands up to Cobra Kai. I mean, he is afraid. I mean, there's that. I mean, there's, you know, no matter what, you're still going to have that fear inside of you. But if you, you know, learn to kind of stand up for yourself, I think there's a lesson in that, that, you know, you might be scared on the inside, but you kind of don't let them know that you're getting or that they're getting to you. So I always like that. I always held firmly to that, to not let anyone intimidate me, or at least to let them know that they're intimidating me. So, and even if I get my butt kicked, I wasn't going to back down. So,
yeah, like in the end of the movie, Mr. Miyagi says, "You did good. You know, you don't need to go on," when Daniel's hurt. And he says, "You know, I'll never have balance if they know they got the best of me," or something like that. And I was a little critical of that when I first saw it. Like, really? Like, what do you... You know, do you really need to fight to have balance in your life? But the way you're putting it right now, it makes a little more sense. Like, even if he loses, he needs to see it through just to show that he didn't, like, break or crumble underneath the bully.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had to get their respect.
Yeah, yeah. And he did. I mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he did.
I mean, even if he had lost, hopefully he still would have had Johnny's respect. Because another thing that I was kind of critical about in this movie is he kicks Johnny in the face and then Johnny suddenly is like, "You're all right, kid." And it's like, really? He'd probably be like, "This is bullshit,
move,
man."
By the way.
Yeah, which I love. They say that in Cobra Kai, spoilers, but he's like, "Oh, yeah, you won with your illegal kick." So funny. But anyways, you know, maybe hopefully Johnny has enough good in him and has just been kind of corrupted by his teacher that even if Daniel would have lost, he would have seen that he tried like hell and that would have garnered some respect too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What do you say, Rich?
I say, you know what I enjoyed watching this movie, what has it been, 36 years later, is my change in perspective. I was thinking about it. I watched it yesterday, and then I slept on it, woke up this morning, and I remember thinking, you know what, it was cool. I remember watching it. I can't remember if I watched it in the movie theater, but I definitely watched it in 1984 or 85 at some point. And back then, mm-hmm. you know, I was in high school, 15 years old, and I was like, yeah, you know, Daniel's good, Johnny bad, this is awesome. I totally relate to these characters, even though I'm from a middle class home and both my parents are still together. I really didn't relate to them, but you know, they just nailed it. There was a lot of realism that the performers mm-hmm. embodied in their performances. And
you know, I think to a degree, many, if not most people, kind of feel like they're the odd man out or the underdog, like Daniel, you know? So
yeah,
lots of people relate to that feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just for bullying and fighting. It could be for other things too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I was watching it in the 80s, I was coerced into feeling how the producers and directors and writers wanted me to feel. And now as I'm older, I have a different perspective watching it. And I a little bit agree with Rima. I'm like, you know, Daniel was kind of a jerk a little bit. I mean, he's kind of a hothead, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff wouldn't never have happened if he would have just kind of kept to himself. But, you know, I'm a teacher. And so as a teacher, when you see stuff like this, and it happens all the time, out in the quad area, you bust both kids. You don't try and figure out who started what. You bust them both. They're all punks, you know. And you realize now as you're older, yeah, they're just kids, you know. They're malleable. They're impressionable. So Johnny, you know, he probably was a good kid. He was just misled. And Daniel's probably a good kid too. And he's, you know, just struggling with some personal issues. And so I really enjoyed that whole change of perspective. Got to see it. It's like watching the movie twice without having seen it before. You know what I mean?
What do you think Daniel should not have done?
Okay. Well, that's my number two. You want me to say it?
Yeah. I'm curious.
So when he gets to LA, he meets this really great guy named Freddie, right? When he walks into his new apartment, right? Freddie's like the perfect new friend, totally friendly, showing him the ropes. They went down to the beach. Freddie and Daniel were getting along, and then all of a sudden, you know, he meets the girl on the beach. You know, you're like, hey, man, this is going pretty good.
Yeah, and so far so good. Mm-hmm.
And then the guys show up, you know, and start picking on Allie. Allie, is that it? Allie?
Allie with an I. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Freddie's like, no, man, don't get involved. Don't do it. And then Daniel, the hothead, goes over there and gets involved, and boom, the movie is born. Where he could have just hung out with Freddie and his friends and had a good time. And a
what? You're saying don't go for the girl?
I'm saying don't get your ass kicked for the girl. No.
So, okay. So you're saying it was okay to flirt, but once the ex-boyfriend shows up and starts pushing her around, then he should have just stayed out of it.
Yeah. Taking the advice of Freddie, who, by the way, completely disappeared.
Yeah.
He did.
Like, where the hell did he go?
Well, no. The next day, Daniel's like, hey, Freddie. And he's all, hey, man, looks like you know how to get your ass kicked or whatever. It's like, you're a douchebag, man. But then Allie comes up and she's friendly still. So, you know, you learn who your real friends are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know, man. I think it was pretty chivalrous to, especially when he started, like Johnny, you know, took her radio and was, you know, not respecting her wishes and everything.
Yeah.
But hey, it's a matter of opinion.
For every success like this, there's probably 10 others that have failed.
What else? Is there anything else he shouldn't have done? I mean, the water thing seems like the most obvious one.
Yeah, he kind of did that one on his own.
Yeah, he just provoked him.
Yeah, I didn't write any of the other ones down. I just, I watched it with my wife and we kind of got into an argument while we were watching it because I was like, Daniel's kind of a dick. And then she's like, no, he's not. He's just a hothead. And I was like, what's the difference? You know, but we never settled that question.
I don't know. I'm trying to think what he did that was hotheaded. I mean, he was defending the girl.
He would snap at Allie sometimes too. And I didn't like that. I felt like, you know, she's been nothing but nice. Twice.
Twice. What was the other time? When he said, hey, he said, get off my back.
He's like,
and she was
get
like,
off my back.
Trying not to, or he wanted to go the other way when he saw all those guys.
And, well, and maybe it wasn't he, I thought there was another time he snapped at her, but that when he was in the country club hiding in the kitchen and saw that. When Johnny
they were
went
all
in for the
dancing
kiss
together,
yeah, and he just without listening to her or giving her a chance to explain what happened, he, you know, just blows her off and doesn't talk
Took
to her,
off.
and then goes and cuddles up with her later when they're at you know the golf
and stuff.
Little golf place, and I'm like, jerk, I wouldn't talk to you either. That was, you know, you couldn't even hear her out,
yeah,
and just,
I didn't
you know.
Wait. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, he. I always thought it was funny that he just happened to have a white shirt and white pants on. So
yeah,
that,
yeah, very inconvenient time.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what the other all one right, was. All right. So Mr. Miyagi goes to the dojo, right, and makes a deal with the bad guy. What's his name?
Kreese,
yeah, makes a deal with Kreese to leave Daniel alone until the tournament. And then, like, the next scene or the next day, Daniel's on campus and he starts taunting them.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's protected.
Knowing,
That's a dick move right there.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's got that New Jersey kind of...
Got chip on his shoulder.
Sass a little bit, you know? And I mean, I totally hear where you're coming from. I think it's cool for his character because it gives him some character, you know, whereas if he'd just been this sort of like, I don't know, straight laced guy, it wouldn't have been as interesting. But yeah, I could see where you're coming from with that. It was fun. Yeah, I mean, it gave the movie more dimensions, you know, like if he had just kept to himself, then it probably wouldn't have been as exciting, but it did.
Yeah.
Make it
I mean,
seem
he wasn't
like
a perfect
taunting them.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a perfect golden boy. And I think that's what makes that's why this story kind of holds up. I mean, the writing was really great. And I feel like all the characters are real. I mean, Daniel could be a real person. And what 15, 16 year old boy, you know, in a similar situation isn't a hothead. Most 15, 16 year old boys I knew were hotheads. So I can appreciate the difference in perspective, like you were talking about, Richard, that, you know, watching it when you're a kid, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is badass, and Daniel's good and Johnny's bad. And then when you're an adult and you're like, well, he's just a little punk, and you know,
well,
like,
I don't know,
the different
man.
Perspectives
I mean,
but
to me
they're
like
all punks.
Taunting those guys is like, dude, these guys are the type of guys that want to hurt him badly, so sitting there making fun of them, you could say it's not too smart, but I don't think it's like, in my opinion, it's not right to say, oh, you should leave those guys alone. You're a jerk. It's more like, hey, if you know what's good for you, leave. Like, it's like saying, leave the mob alone, you know, don't taunt the mob or they're going to hurt you. It doesn't make Daniel a bad guy. It just makes him maybe not very smart.
He wasn't. Remember the scene where they went to the water slides and he's like, hey, we should go on the water slides. And then Ollie's like, no, because then we'd have to have bathing suits. And he's like, oh, yeah, bathing suit.
No, he said, let's go on the slides. Oh, you need a bathing suit because it's a water slide. He didn't know it was a water slide. That's different.
He spent... Ralph Macchio did a really good job on that performance. He turned in one of the best performances of a teenager, I think. I mean, he was what, like in his 30s or something like that?
He was 22.
He looked... Not only did he look the part, but he did a really good job of... looking and saying a lot of dumb things.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they're at the golf and stuff and they're making up after he did that thing night at the country club where he, you know, saw them together and ran away trying to make up with her. And then he says, I'm a jerk. And she goes, you are a jerk. And then they turn around and start kissing and they're holding each other. And I swear it looks like some little kid with his babysitter or something.
Did she play one later?
Yeah, Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
Okay, my turn. Number three. I just think it's interesting how this movie, I think it's a classic and it's just really well done, but it feels like it's lightning in a bottle in a way. It has parts that it ends up being the greater, the sum is what do you call it? The sum of the parts is greater than the whole, or the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. It's better altogether than you would think with the different parts. Like, you know, Happy Days was one of my favorite shows growing up as a kid. And
also Pat Morita.
Yeah, Pat Morita was Arnold, and he was goofy and wacky. He laughed like that. And to play this centered, wise character, you'd never think that he could pull that off, but it was so good. I mean, John G. Avildsen is the director. He also directed Rocky. So, I mean, that is sort of like, well, yeah, Rocky's fucking great. But this guy also directed Karate Kid 2, which was pretty good, but it didn't have that, to me, special feel of this first movie. Came close. But then he did also Karate Kid 3, which was pretty mediocre, to be honest. So the writer was Robert Kamen, who also wrote the Transporter and Taken movies, which I've never seen any of those, but from what I gather, they're fun, but they're kind of niche and quirky, and, you know, they're not like elevated like Karate Kid. Some fans out there may disagree with me, but that's just my impression of it. But I just think that all these different parts, the relationship, the chemistry between Miyagi and Daniel, you know, Pat Morita and Ralph Macchio, the chemistry between Ralph Macchio and Elizabeth Shue, the acting, the directing, the music, just elevated it, elevated the material to something greater. So I really like that.
Yeah, totally. It makes so much sense that you said that the director did both Rocky and this movie, because this movie kind of has the same buildup, just like Rocky did to the final fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mentioned it was grounded earlier compared to some of the other 80s teen movies. And I think that probably has a lot to do with the directing. And I think if it wasn't for him directing it, it probably would have gotten lost in the shuffle. I think his direction really helped elevate it. But I'd also do think that it just so happened to get just the right guy to play Miyagi. I think they originally thought of Daniel as just some white kid, probably. And well, he is white, but his name wasn't going to be LaRusso, but Ralph Macchio's so Italian looking that they changed it to that. And so just all these different parts came together to make it really, really good.
Were you surprised when you saw that Pat Morita was in the movie? I was. I remember being surprised. I was like, hey, that's the guy from Happy Days.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't remember, actually. I mean, I've seen this over 30 times, you know, maybe up closer to 40 or 50 by now. Yeah. But I do remember I knew him really well from Happy Days, and he just was such a goofball that I think it was shocking that he could play this kind of a wise character. He is a smart ass in this movie, but not in the same way that Arnold was on Happy Days.
Mm-hmm. Well, he won an Oscar, a supporting Oscar, didn't he, for this role?
Did he?
I thought so.
I don't know. He should have.
Awesome. Yeah.
He died, by the way, in 2005.
Yeah.
He was 73 years old. And his presence is really felt in the Cobra Kai show. And it's very much missed. I think, like The Karate Kid, Cobra Kai is about like surrogate fathers, and you can really feel that he's missed by Daniel in that series.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I think we're on you, Rima. What's your number two?
My number two is I know I had a few things that I didn't love about the movie, but one thing that I loved even like then and I still love now is that relationship between Mr. Miyagi and Daniel. Like you said earlier, Daniel, you know, needed a father figure. He didn't have one. And I've watched it twice in the last couple of days, and I haven't watched it in a while previous to that. I don't remember the details, but I mean, his parents were divorced, right? It wasn't like his father died or something, but, you know, wasn't it those circumstances?
Yeah,
but
no, they never.
They really okay, say.
I thought I read that it was supposed to be like, you know, his parents were divorced but either way, didn't have a father in his life. And, you know, I really liked how, you know, Mr. Miyagi, you know, he's kind of almost kind of aloof, you know, to Daniel at first, you know, he's just kind of like, don't bug me. But then as, you know, he keeps coming around and he kind of sees what Daniel, what's going on with him, you know, getting picked on and bullied and stuff. And they start to form this friendship, and then he ends up going to the school to speak for him, you know, to try and get the boys to, you know, kind of lay off of him. And And then he takes him in as a student, and he doesn't just teach him karate, but he teaches him life lessons. And I love that. Like when he's talking to him, you know, on Daniel's birthday about, which he talks to him about balance, but he was, you know, talking about balance in karate. But then he's like, you know, balance isn't just for fighting. It's, you know, you have to have balance in life too. And I believe that too. I think that you have to have that balance, and that's really important. So I really love that. And you know, I would always love when the parts, you know, Daniel would kind of half-ass his, you know, karate moves or something when he was doing the, you know, show me, wax on, wax off. And yeah, he just kind of go, and he's like, and he'd smack his hands.
Yeah, because the other lesson is, you know, walk on right side road safe, walk on left side safe, walk in the middle, squoosh, just like grape. So it means you got to commit.
Right. Right. So I loved how they built that relationship and Mr. Miyagi became a father figure, but also a friend. And I felt in that moment when Mr. Miyagi gives him that car and Daniel's sitting in the driver's seat and he looks at him and he tells Mr. Miyagi, "You're my best friend." And it's not awkward at all. It's like totally true. And it felt true probably like in real life, too. Like you said, they had really great chemistry together. So I feel like they probably had a really great friendship, you know, outside of the movie itself. I don't know that, but I feel like you
I think I've heard, do, yeah, but, Ralph Macchio say that they really liked each other.
Yeah. So I loved all of that. I thought that was really, really nice and special. That kind of just warms my heart. And then like that big, big cheesy smile that Mr. Miyagi gives at the very end of the movie. That's where they end the movie. And you can tell he's just really proud of him. Proud. And that's like the perfect moment to like end that movie, by the way. But I just, I loved all of that. Those, you know, that encouragement there at the end, at the tournament, he's giving him those little nods like, you know, yeah, do that. Or yes, you're on the right track.
And he looks really worried when Daniel's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I loved all of that. That's a big, big thing for me in that movie is that relationship with those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Four, yeah. I've been playing The Last of Us recently because The Last of Us 2 is coming out this Friday, and we're going to cover that on Walking Dead Cast. And there's going to be an HBO series, and it's awesome. But that whole game, I can't talk it up enough. It's so cinematic, and it's really about a similar relationship, except the genders. Well, it's a girl instead of a boy, but this guy, this is sort of the setup, so hopefully it's not too spoilery, but it's the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. He loses his daughter, and then he just becomes really hard, like he doesn't want to open himself up to that kind of pain again. And then he meets this other girl years later, and she, you know, he has to take her somewhere, but he's just a total dick to her pretty much. And she's like kind of innocent, and over time, you know, it changes, and it's a really heartwarming story. And those stories always get to me, just kind of parent child relationships, or even surrogate parent surrogate child relationships.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I guess it's my turn, or do you have a different one, Rich, for number two? Should I just go?
No, it's just the Ralph Macchio. Did a really good job. Kind of a punk.
I say charming.
Well, you end up caring for the character, so he did good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to kind of cheat on this one, and hopefully I'm allowed because it's one of my favorite movies. But my number two is kind of what stands out about the movie to me, some of my favorite parts.
Mm.
I loved when Daniel meets Allie at the beach, and he's just standing there kind of gazing at her. It's a
staring.
Little yeah, it's a little like uncomfortable but also exciting, you know. And and I like that he's got some confidence to him, you know. That's cool. Like, he's the underdog, but he's got some confidence, and it worked. She ended up falling for him, but that was just
Italians.
An electric scene. I know. Then it's at night outside their apartment building. He's just gotten pushed off the levee on his bike. He comes home and he's kicking his bike, and his mom catches him. And he's like, "I don't understand this place. I just want to go home. Why can't we just go home?" That's where I really thought, oh man, Ralph Macchio's a great actor. That scene.
Yeah.
That just got to me. And then, yeah, I really do think that Daniel's charming. Like when he you know, Allie says at lunch, you remember the guy you had trouble with on the beach? That's my ex-boyfriend. And he goes, oh, that's good to know. What? Yeah, you're right. I know. What are you doing? Oh, it's this little voice telling me I got to be nuts to be talking to you. I just like that kind of stuff. And I think they have really good chemistry. The scene where he, after he pours water on Johnny and then runs away and they're running across a field, it's a misty field and they're all in their skeleton outfits and they're playing that kind of intense song, No Shelter. I just love that whole visual of that scene. It's like, oh fuck, man, you know, it's just a really well done, very cinematic. And then they start throwing up against that fence and one of the guys says enough and he goes, you know what Sensei said, no mercy.
Yeah, it got scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with the skeleton. I mean, I remember at one of the assemblies at Somerset, our junior high that Richard and I went to, they showed a part of this movie as some, you know, lesson about life or something. And I don't know if they showed that scene, but they showed maybe a couple other scenes. And that's what made me want to see this movie. I was like, whoa, what the hell is this? then when... it's Daniel's birthday and he's celebrating with Mr. Miyagi with cake and everything. And then he takes him outside to give him a present and says he can choose any one of those cars. And Daniel's like, no, what? No. And he goes, oh, you hurt old man feelings. And he goes right to the one. So, you know, he spent a lot of time with those cars cause he had to wax them all day. So he knew which one he wanted. I like that.
Yeah. And tick that off as another 16-year-old boy's fantasy, getting a free car.
No kidding.
I mentioned before, but I love that Miyagi's a smart ass throughout the movie. Like when he first sees Daniel, oh, what happened to I fell off my bike. Lucky no hurt hand. And Daniel's looking at him. Fuck you, dude. Or when Daniel asks him what kind of karate belt he has. Oh, canvas, JCPenney, 398. Ha ha ha. And speaking of that scene when Miyagi says karate here and points to his head, karate here points to his heart, karate never here and points to his belt. Mm-hmm. And I think I really took that to heart because my son Nico is in Kung Fu and the belts are such a key tool in motivating these kids to progress because they want to get the next color. And I resisted that at first. I was like, no, karate, no here. But, you know, it really does help. Like, I don't know if Nico would be so motivated if he wasn't trying to get that next belt. So I'm not sure.
You know, that was another perspective thing for me, too. When in that scene where he points to his head and his chest and his belt. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid and I watched that, I thought he was pointing to his groin. Because all his bad decisions were for that girl. So I was like, oh, he's telling him not to think with his dick. That's
what... He grabs his crotch.
Yeah, I was like, oh. Well, he told made sense to me when I was a kid. Now I'm like, oh, this makes more sense now as an adult.
That's hilarious. Or I love when Miyagi, they're going to the school to talk to Johnny's teacher and Miyagi hands him the keys. You drive. No, I'm not very good. Well, me neither. Well, I don't really have a license. Oh, me neither. All right, I guess it's okay then. They kind of sputter off. Mm-hmm. Or then when they get to the tournament, where am I? This ring over here? Hi, number 3. What's that guy kneeling like that for? Don't know. Don't you know anything you can tell me? Hi, no, get hit. So that's cool. The whole chopstick scene I loved. And I'm pretty sure that I tried that and successfully caught a fly once, but
really?
I think I might have been a dream. I'm not sure.
I think we've all probably tried it at least. I don't think I've ever caught one, but I think we all did that.
I think I did. I don't know. Maybe not.
I couldn't. I could barely eat with chopsticks.
Mm.
And then here's a couple little interesting things. When Daniel's mom asks him if his new girlfriend is as cute as Judy, and he goes, oh, she buries Judy, mom. I don't know. You guys probably noticed, but in the opening scene, when we see them driving out of their neighborhood in New Jersey, and a bunch of friends are waving goodbye, he says, bye, Judy. And she's all, send me a picture. So I guess his girlfriend, Judy, was there. I don't know if they officially broke up. Yeah, he is a jerk. He's cheating on Judy. And then what else? Yeah. Machio was 23. Apparently that's what I have written here. And she, Elizabeth Shue, was 21, but I feel like she looked older.
Yeah, she looked older than he did.
And then he got to keep that car, Ralph Macchio. He did get to keep that car for reals, so he still has it apparently.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw that interview when he restored it for the new series.
Yeah. And then the last thing I have here is the ref in the tournament at the end with the mustache. That's Pat Johnson. He did all the karate choreography for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And oh no, I did have one more thing. So Rima, you mentioned that the shot of proud Miyagi at the end was a great way to end the movie. And I think you probably already know this, but if you guys saw Karate Kid 2, you see that at the beginning, it takes place right after Karate Kid ends, and they're out in the parking lot outside the tournament, and Kreese is just, he's beating up his students basically because he's pissed off that they lost, and then mm-hmm. Miyagi will kind of bests him. And they actually filmed that to be the ending of Karate Kid, but they decided that it was better to end it there with the proud look on Miyagi's face. And I totally think they made the right decision on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
That's a very 80s thing.
That made a great opening.
Yeah. Yeah, made a great opening for the next one. And just a very 80s way, mm-hmm. I feel, to kind of end it. Kind of like whenever Rocky, and you know, when they're lifting Rock and he's covered in the, you know, American flag and his, you know, hands up in the air, and they kind of end it there. That's like a perfect
moment of triumph.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, all the great 80s movies ended up on an upbeat, huh?
A lot of them did. That's what made it great. I'm trying to
think how Ferris Bueller... Yeah, Ferris got home successfully, fooled his parents.
Got away with everything.
And then if you stayed in the theater, you saw him come out in his robe and say, "You're still here? It's over. Go home." Okay, Rima, what's your number one?
Well, something a little maybe not quite as poignant as other things that we've talked about, but just in general, I loved the karate throughout the movie. Since a kid, and I don't know if it was this movie so much, I've always been a huge action fan, especially 80s movies. I grew up on like Predator and Commando and Rocky and Rambo and, you know, and then Karate Kid and just all the movies that they had, any type of fighting and action and martial arts, I was in. And I was always obsessed with martial arts as a kid. So, of course, I loved the karate, you know, in this movie, and thought, you know, for me, it was very satisfying to kind of see a kid go from having like no, like, I guess he had what, maybe just, he mentioned he had like a little bit of training, I guess, at their Y when they were in Jersey. So, but it wasn't like, you know, real teaching, I guess, like at a real dojo or something. So he had a little bit, but it was cool to see a kid who can go from nothing, you know, and not a whole lot of skill to then being trained in a few months, which maybe is a little bit unrealistic to think that maybe he could go from almost nothing to being good enough to enter a tournament for brown and black belts and then beat them and end up winning the tournament. Might be a little, you know, reaching, but I'll go with it because, hey, it was still fun. You know, I'm going to say the Miyagi will of the force or whatever he had flowing through him, you know, that kind of helped push him through. But I loved all of that. I thought all the fight scenes were really great. Especially the end fight scene with Johnny and Daniel. I thought it was just one of the greatest scenes ever in lots of 80s movies, and how that went down between the two. Just thought this was the pinnacle moment, you know, that we've been waiting for that entire movie, because it started there at the beach, like you mentioned earlier. And then to see where, you know, we were at that point and where Daniel was with getting his butt kicked and, you know, how he's hurt and injured and come back. You know, I really admired him for that, because I feel like that's what I try to do. I don't allow, you know, I take a martial arts class, and whether I'm hurt or injure myself in class, I keep going and I keep pushing myself and I don't back down. And,
do you want to say what kind of class?
Sure. I take Krav Maga.
Yeah. Don't mess with Rima. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of the, you know, a similar thing, you know, and I'm a klutz as well. So I typically injure myself more than what other people injure me. But you know, still I get hurt, but I keep pushing through it and I keep going and don't give up. So I really admire when Daniel does that, but I loved all of those scenes. I thought they were really well choreographed and in general, just fun. I like the fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Daniel was lucky that he didn't have to fight that guy that Johnny had to fight to get to Daniel, who was flipping around, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think that guy would have wiped the floor with Daniel.
He looked like he really knew karate, for reals.
Yeah, he did, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, Rima, is the crane kick thing, is that for real?
No, it's not. That was made up.
Oh.
It's unfortunate because it looks real. It looks like it could be a real move, but no, it's not a real move. I think it was created for the movie. And illegal in tournament.
That guy I mentioned, I forgot his name, but the choreographer guy, mm-hmm. He made it up. He said, no, it's not real. You're not defended. And, you know, it was just the cinematic thing to do.
But man, it was badass though, because what kid, me included, wasn't in their backyard practicing that crane and then practicing it on your cousins?
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying Here's to not quote. Really said, kick them in the face.
He said, it was just something I thought up on the spot. You have no balance. Your hands aren't in a defensive position. It's just cinematic.
It was fun.
Yeah, because when you watch the fight, it's almost like Johnny hits his head on Daniel's foot. Rather than Daniel hitting Johnny, he kind of like leaned
into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, walked right
into
it or something like that.
He was like, what are you doing?
Probably like, that's not a real move. He didn't know what to anticipate. A lot of it is, you know, you have to kind of anticipate what the move is. You have to kind of improvise and see and pay attention, you know, kind of like what Miyagi was always trying to tell Daniel throughout is look at the eyes, not the hands. And you know, you kind of have to figure out what they're going to do so you can, you know, block it appropriately or counter move. So maybe because that was not a real move, Johnny didn't know how to react it and walks right into it. I don't know.
And then there's a big thing saying that was illegal, right? Like in a tournament, that would be illegal.
Yeah.
It should have been.
He should have been disqualified. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Technically. Because I don't think they're supposed to kick. I don't think you're supposed to kick in the head. No kicks to the head. And also in tournaments, you're not supposed to use full force. You don't use full force in tournaments. Yeah. It's points.
I see.
Just like less, probably 1 or 2 seconds before that, the ref warns Johnny, warning no illegal kicking to the knee or something like that. And then he full force right in the middle of the face.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Johnny really did trip and fall into his foot then, and that's why he won.
I think that's a bit of a plot hole, but they realized that the feeling you got from that would outweigh the that you'd suspend your belief just because it was such a great feeling, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I never thought of that, actually.
Everybody
says
was
it
like
years later
up.
In Cobra Kai.
Awesome!
Okay, Rich, what's your number one?
Number one is Mr. Miyagi's car collection. Did you guys see his cars?
Yeah.
Where'd he get those? He's a car thief.
Yeah, it's really more of a side just job. I'm using this car collection to just, you know, add some depth to his character. He was my favorite character in the movie. So he had this awesome car collection that he collected over the years. I looked it up. I didn't know this. I had to look up the cars. He had a 1942 Chevrolet pickup, which is the one that Daniel learned how to drive. He had a yellow 1947 Ford Super Deluxe convertible, a 1951 Cadillac sedan, a 1951 Pontiac Woody wagon, which was my favorite, and the smallest but not least, the blue and white Nash Metropolitan. All those cars today, if they were in good shape, would fetch about $100,000.
I was going to say.
Yeah. He had
some pretty
cool cars.
For the whole thing.
And Daniel, he drove the convertible, the 47 Ford. So that was a good thing he got there.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, you know, all of that is just it really shows what kind of a history the guy has, Mr. Miyagi. He's been around for a long time. It helps add, you know, depth to the war story he was talking about when he was drunk and losing his wife and child. So, you know, it made it that much more powerful. And then you know, like Rima, you said, Daniel says, you're the best friend I ever had, or you're my best friend or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then Miyagi replies, you're pretty okay too. Because, you know, this 17-year-old kid ain't going to be his best friend after all he's been through, but he still likes him. He's cool with that.
Yeah.
Guy has all this experience and all this wisdom and all this life. And it just added a lot of realism to his character and to the movie, I thought. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Very cool. Okay, I have a lot more to say about this movie, but we're already an hour in, so I'm going to skip a lot of it. But I'll actually go into something that's not so positive. And for me, it's important to talk about in relation to this movie. So, you know, one of the pivotal scenes is when Daniel and Miyagi are out on the lake training in the boat and learning balance. And he's standing on the bow of the boat, punching and trying to stay balanced. And he says, you know, I want to punch. I want to fight. And well, karate's not about fighting. Well, then why train? And he goes, so I won't have to fight. And so it seems to be, you know, trying to teach him that the idea is not to fight and to be peaceful and everything. And yet the movie climaxes with a vicious kick to the face of the protagonist enemy. And that felt great. As I said a minute ago, it felt great to me. It felt great to the audience, but it feels like the real message of the movie is that there's bad guys and there's good guys. And you just need to fucking dominate those bad guys out there. You know, it's not a movie about diplomacy. And I really do feel like Cobra Kai, the series, is more even-handed. I mean, kind of. They do find any excuse to start fighting because it's a karate show. But it's still more nuanced and balanced. And as I mentioned before, Daniel's not perfect and Johnny's sympathetic. And so I like that about Cobra Kai, that I think, you know, as American society progresses, we get more mature. I remember in the 80s, we looked back at movies from the 50s and thought, oh, they were so simplistic. And now we're looking back at the 80s movies and thinking they're simplistic. So things just get more complicated and sophisticated, I guess. And I think Cobra Kai is more sophisticated than Karate Kid, which I like a lot.
Yeah. You know, one thing Cobra Kai hasn't addressed is what happened to Johnny's money. He had some nice stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
He came from a wealthy family,
they
right? Talk?
No, I think well, they did. Didn't he go to his dad or something? Well, I mean, we'll see when we rewatch it. Let's not give any spoilers.
Okay. I won't say.
In case people are watching for the first time. But so, yeah, I guess I just feel like it's a little disingenuous for Miyagi to be teaching all these lessons about balance, and then the final moment of the movie is pop right in the face of the guy. But it's okay, man. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think it. I wish it hadn't ended it that way. I just think it bears saying.
You make a good point, but he was losing badly, and so he had to bring out the power move so he could. That's what had to happen. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, Miyagi was telling him all throughout. He's like, you know, it doesn't matter if you win. Winning is not what matters. Yeah. You know, that's not what the whole thing was about. And winning a battle. You know.
And yet he totally decisively wins, and Miyagi has the proudest look I've ever seen on his face
because he didn't give up.
Yeah, you could spin it that way.
Yeah, I choose to.
Okay. That is awesome. We'll take a little break. There's more to come. There's some news. There's some listener feedback. So stay with us. All right, a little bit of news. I kind of went into this a little earlier, but I'll go into a little more detail. So Deadline had a report on the future of Cobra Kai. It's all off the record from their sources, but they're saying that they're hearing Cobra Kai will be moving to a new streaming platform because YouTube's moving away from premium original content. Sony Pictures TV produces Cobra Kai, and so they're shopping it around, and apparently it's been narrowed down to Netflix and Hulu. And whoever gets it should have seasons 1 and 2, as well as the upcoming season 3. Apparently, YouTube wasn't interested in doing a season four, so it would have just ended if it would have stayed on YouTube. Around, Sony's trying to move it to a streaming platform that would do more seasons if season three is successful, if that makes any sense. So they want to continue it as long as it's successful. And it was a huge success on YouTube.
It was
getting like tens of millions of watches.
Yeah. They had like Super Bowl numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's up with YouTube? What the hell?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe everybody and their mother has a streaming service these days, so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hear anything from YouTube Premium except for Cobra Kai, so maybe they're just not doing as well. So maybe they feel like if they want it to continue, which they should, because if you watch season two, you want it to continue. So, you know, I'm glad that they're motivated to keep it, like, going, because it is really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little... It's only secondhand reports so far, so I think there's a chance they could say, oh, never mind, it's over, which would really suck.
Gosh,
so
that
hopefully
would
they
suck.
Don't do that. I feel like we've been in that position before with Legion and with Lock and Key, where we're like, please announce another season, and then they do. And then with Ash vs. Evil Ted, where they did not. Oh,
yeah.
It still hurts. Yeah.
Yeah, it still hurts.
Still thinking about
it's a
that
knife.
One.
I know. I can't. Anyways, and then the last thing is just this isn't really news, but the showrunners and the guys who really just like came up with the idea of Cobra Kai and wrote it out and everything and got buy-in from everybody are Josh Heel, John Hurwitz, and Hayden Schlossberg. John Hurwitz and Hayden Schlossberg, they made the Harold and Kumar movies. I don't think I've seen. Are those? They're pretty good, right?
I saw half of one.
I have not seen any of those movies, so I don't know.
I cannot remember it, though.
Oh, that's... Well, anyway, that's where they came from. All right, let's get in some listener feedback. Rima?
Okay, first one we have is from Lynn Melanowski. She says, once you mentioned the director was the same one as did Rocky with Sylvester Stallone, but I kept seeing similarities. Both are excellent sport films.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Balish says, I love this movie. It brings back so many good memories. Great lines. Sweep the leg. get him a body bag. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
What belt are you? 398, JCPenney. Pat Morita was better than his best in this movie. Just makes me smile on a bunch of levels.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dabolino Bob Grippy says, such an iconic movie. Just to hear about how the higher-ups didn't want Pat Morita and wouldn't even let him audition until the director absolutely insisted. I think the writer, too, Dean Kamen, is that his name? Or Robert Kamen, totally had him in mind. And they had auditioned some other people that had played roles with more gravitas. But when they got Pat Morita in there with Ralph Macchio, they knew right away that was... He was the one.
Mm.
He goes on, whenever I rewatch this, I almost always start with the scene where Daniel and Miyagi confront the Cobra Kai in their dojo. Just save you 2 months of beatings. And I love Miyagi's tournament tip. Don't get hit.
Yeah.
It's a good lesson. Words. Good lesson in life. Yep. Pick Allen says, being that this watch was my first time actually watching this movie, I had a blast. Obviously, I knew everything that was going to happen pretty much, as this movie is so ingrained in our culture forever, and rightly so. So many great life lessons, relatable characters, and a great feel-good coming-of-age tale, with enough seriousness and turmoil to really help it pay off at the end. There's a reason it's a permanent classic.
Totally. Shelley Champagne says, I'm always too late for feedback. I will get you some after.
When? After. I forgot to mention, I should have mentioned this at the top of the podcast, but another reason why I wanted to cover this show, why it felt like a great one to cover, is just because the times are so heavy right now, and we usually cover dark shows, which I always love, but I thought it would just be fun to cover a lighter show.
Yes.
To counteract that.
Much appreciated.
Megan Dively Lemon says, the ending reminded me that I spent a lot of time at the end of my parents' driveway reenacting the whipping crane to the delight of my school bus friends and passing motorists.
I did it in my backyard.
In private.
Yeah, well, probably not so private. I lived in a neighborhood, plenty of houses around, so I'm sure there were passing neighbors as they're passing their kitchen windows. What the hell is that kid doing out there? Whatever. Thought I was cool. Laura Willie Swink says, as someone with an Asian mother and American father, this was the first movie I remember ever seeing with a prominent Asian American character. Mr. Miyagi and Daniel's embracing of his mentor's Japanese culture gave me, a kid raised in a typical American suburb, a great sense of pride and appreciation for my own Asian background. That and many days of my younger brother and I trying to do the crane kick balanced on a footstool and going outside with chopsticks to try to catch flies. Oh, the memories. That's nice.
I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
Wendy Ott Eppers. I hadn't watched it in its entirety in many, many years. What stood out to me was that compared to most of the 80s genre movies, it is a more innocent film that doesn't bury its message in a lot of sophomoric and juvenile bits. I also had forgotten the brief but poignant scene that touched on the Japanese internment camps during World War II. This is something I bet many weren't aware of at the time. I certainly wasn't.
Mm.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was noticing on my 45th or whatever rewatch today, is this feels a little more earnest than a lot of those other 80s movies. And it's cool. I mean, I love Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller, but yeah. The tone reminds me, maybe, I haven't seen this in a long time, but maybe a little bit more like Stand By Me, a little more earnest. We got one call from Mr. Steve Brown.
Too much advantage, your dojo. Still the greatest line, I think, in in a lot of movies. Yeah, I just love it so much. Hey, Jason and whoever, I don't care. I had a couple drinks.
Couldn't tell.
I really do love this movie, The Karate Kid. I watched it. I remember watching it originally. I was probably 13, 14 years old. It was 1984. So, you know, right in there in that ballpark of age. And it was just, it was so good. And Elizabeth Shue was such an amazing, there's a romance there. The acting is great. Martin Cove just, you know, became the worst for me from that. And of course, Pat Morita, just seeing him, just everything about this movie is really great. And it holds up even now, 30 years or so, whatever it is later, it still holds up as a great, well acted and just well written movie. I can't wait for you guys to cover this movie and to cover Cobra Kai. I have not watched Cobra Kai yet. I ordered the discs today. They should arrive from Amazon tomorrow, and I'm going to start watching them. I'm going to try to stay one episode along with you. I guess you guys are going to do one episode at a time.
Two.
But, you know, I'm excited. I really like this movie. It defined so much of our childhood, or at least definitely teenage years. So, okay, I'm going to watch the rest of it, and can't wait to hear you guys' coverage of it. Talk to you later.
Steve, it kind of reminded me of the scene where Miyagi is talking about his, you know, what happened in the war and everything.
Sounds like he called us right in the middle of the movie, too. Here's the Steve.
I'm having a little nip myself right now. Steve, I'm glad you haven't seen Cobra Kai yet. That's really exciting.
That's fun. Yeah.
You're going to get your first reactions. And we're going to try, I haven't talked to you guys about this yet, but I would like to try to not spoil anything as we go along. It's been a while since I saw it, so I kind of forgot most of it anyway. But, you know, not spoil later episodes as we go along.
I will try my best. I haven't seen it since, like, I didn't see season one since it aired, and same with season two. Yeah. So hopefully I've forgotten some things. I will do my best not to spoil ahead.
And I like season one quite a bit better. So I'm hoping that podcasting on season two will help us appreciate it more. I think it was still good, but not as good.
Yeah.
But there were some really great moments that I'm thinking of now that are super funny. All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Of course. It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah, that's cool.
I'm glad you both agreed to this. I'm really excited. This is one of my favorite shows, and it'll be fun to dive into it.
Yeah, I like how you were thinking of making it, doing something that's fun too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the closest thing I've done to this is when we covered Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Right. That was fun and dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you get best of both worlds. Well, yeah. Mandalorian was a lot of fun. You guys did on that, and that was super fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess when the fun ones come along, that's when I call up Rich.
Yeah.
That's
he likes
nice.
That fun.
Yeah. Escapism, baby.
Heck yeah, especially now.
Well, if you guys, we really love your feedback. It adds a lot to the podcast, and it's really fun to feel like this is kind of a conversation with you guys. So if you're watching along with us and you want to be read and responded to on the podcast, you can write in or you can record a message. That's always fun, and send it in. And you can either write to or send your recorded message to waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Like Strange Indeed.
Yes, please.
What are you doing right now?
I'm going back and covering some older episodes of Black Mirror. I'm doing fan favorites of some of the ones that we didn't cover. We covered a couple of seasons, the later seasons, but I'm going back and covering a few from like season one, season two, that are the favorites.
And then on Walking Dead Cast, we're kind of in limbo over there because they still need to put out the season 10 finale, but it was interrupted and delayed because of the virus, and they haven't said when it's coming out yet. So we're doing our usual off-season thing and covering other dark kind of things that we like. And next Monday, this Friday, Last of Us Part 2 comes out, and I plan to probably just spend the entire weekend playing that. And then me and Mr. Blog are going to cover it on Walking Dead Cast.
Cool.
And the next episode of this podcast should be out in a few days, and then we'll be weekly after that. And the next one will be Cobra Kai episodes 1 and 2.
Yay.
Can't wait.
All right. That's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Wax on, wax off.